We're going to turn to the book of Luke this morning, chapter 6. So if you want to turn to your Bibles, you may, chapter 6. Before we go there, I wanted you to know that we are in the fifth week of a trilogy. Because here's the thing. So Pastor Jamie brought forth the great scriptures that started with the question, right? There was a question that somebody asked Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the scriptures. What do you think? Paraphrasing, of course. And he said, well, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Week one. Week two, what's your strength and your mind and all that to be about? What's the heart about? And so on and so forth. And then week three, Pastor Tosh taught us the second part of that scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then the question gets asked, well, who's my neighbor? Who do I have to love? So the answers came forth through the message, right? You remember all that? All right, so really we went from 3 weeks, and then the fourth week, Pastor Jamie talked about dependence on God. So how can we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength? And how do we love our neighbors as ourselves? We depend on God to help us do that. Isn't it good? You see how it goes? And then that brings us to week five with Pastor Joyce of the trilogy, which is now a pentology. I looked it up. Pentology. So there is such a thing after all, according to Google anyway. And what I realized in the five was there's five books of Moses, right? And in those five books came the law of Moses, right? The five books. And when the gentleman asked Jesus, how do you inherit eternal life? He was quoting as he answered, as Jesus said, well, what do you think? What's in the scriptures? He was referring to the five books of the law, right? So that's why the man brought up what was written in all the law that sums it all up, as Jesus said, is two commandments. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That takes care of all the five books. So you never have to read the five books of the law ever again. Not true, but needless to say. But that's how this conversation started. But what does Jesus bring when he came this fifth week, if you will? He came with a whole new teaching. He had taught early on about the new wine, the new covenant, the new testament, the new way that God would want people, how God would want people to live. And we know it as the new covenant, forgiveness of sins, but also new teachings. The old law no longer essentially could help people do the right thing. So Jesus had to come and be an example of what all the law encapsulated so he could fulfill the purpose of the law by acting it out and showing people what the law really looks like, because he never broke the law, right? He did everything there was to do of the law of the five books of Moses. But beyond that, he added new teachings, how to be like God. Because he was God, right? So he was sent by God to bring love and to sacrifice his life for forgiveness because people couldn't keep the law. How well are you doing with those two commandments? If we were to tell the truth some days, not so good. Especially as we all know when you're driving. You want your neighbor to speed up, get out of the way, right? So this brings me to the message that Jesus gave. When in the book of Matthew and in Luke, you see what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. It's when Jesus sat with all the people from everywhere and he began to teach them. His disciples sat before him. And from the Sermon on the Mount, up on Mount Olive, he taught the disciples the new way that they were supposed to live. And so now guess what he's doing? He's not just taking the five books of Moses. He's now adding what really God wants from all of us. He's beginning to teach directly from God through himself to the people. And who are those people today? We are. Thus, the pentology. Okay. So, And if you may know it as it begins with the Beatitudes. That's where Jesus talks about who God blesses. But then I'm going to jump down to Luke, where the sermon is stepping off from. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. And if you go to Matthew, in Matthew 5, and you read 43 through 48, it's also written there by Matthew, and a little difference. So I'm going to bring some of Matthew in as I bring in Luke. But let's begin with this. Here's what Jesus starts to teach the people. Who are the people? We are. This is known as the Sermon on Cornerstone. Okay. All right. Verse 27. But to you who are willing to listen. See, he was talking to a crowd. Some people would listen, some wouldn't. Some would take to heart what he said and put it into their lives, some wouldn't. But he was speaking to and saying to those of you who are willing to listen. Who is that today? You are. Of course you are. Beautiful. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to only those who are good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Verse 35, he says it again. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High God. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. You must be merciful as your Father is merciful. Who's my enemy? Sometimes we're our own enemy, are we not? What's an enemy? I had to look it up, Old Testament, New Testament, because I just got to know these things for some reason. In the Old Testament, it was someone who was an opponent that was trying to kill or hurt you. In the New Testament, it's someone who causes you distress. Well, that could be a lot of people, including yourself. Distressors, adversaries, trying to stop you from doing good, right? Jesus goes on to say in verse 43, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. For those of you who are willing to listen, how do you get a good heart? Well, first of all, you listen to the teachings of Jesus, right? And then what do you do with those teachings? You say, wow, that was a great sermon. So-and-so needed to hear that. I wish my brother, my sister, my uncle, my mother, my father, my cousin was here to hear that. Who's listening? We are. Who needs to hear this? We all do, correct? So we now know that the fifth part of the teachings that Jesus wanted to bring forth, if you will, as he answered the question to the person that asked him, how do I inherit eternal life? And eternal life doesn't begin after life. It begins when? Right here, right now. And it goes on through eternity. And our reward we receive sometimes in this life, but always in eternity as well. And what we're wanting to do through, in other words, our lives, we can change the eternity of someone else too, can't we? By how we treat them, by how we show them who God is, correct? So often people that don't want to come to church, their greatest sometimes reason not to, is that they've been hurt by the church. They've been condemned by the church. They have been rejected by the church. They've been shunned by the church. They've been thrown out by the church. And the church then becomes their enemy, causes them distress, right? But the church is not Jesus. Although the church is Jesus, isn't it? When we're a church that acts like Jesus, correct? Thus, Christ is the cornerstone of this church. He is the one that we seek to follow and to follow his teachings, to listen to them and then do what with them? Follow them, do them. Because Jesus also goes on to say that a person who doesn't do what he says is like someone who doesn't listen. And when things go wrong, they collapse emotionally, mentally, and otherwise. But a person who follows his teachings, even when the midst of trouble comes, they are standing on the truth of who Christ is, and they have no fear of any enemy. And therefore, even though things come against them, they will be standing strong, like a house built on what? A foundation. What's the foundation? The Word of God and Jesus Christ. And Jesus asked this question: why do you keep calling me Lord when you don't do what I say? Oh, boy. I hate scriptures like that. What did he say previously? Love your enemies. Pray for them. Do good to them. Who's my enemy? My neighbor. In fact, in Matthew, Jesus says to somebody, you've heard it say, I'm to love my neighbor and hate my enemy. He actually says that. And he says, but I say, love them both, love them all, because God is merciful to everyone, right? So, we've heard it, we've listened, correct? And now we're going to do what? Practice it. Do it, right? Easy. Not so easy. How can we possibly do this? How do we pull it off to be like Jesus? Well, luckily, there's more scriptures involved with this. We'll turn to 1 John 4. Actually, I'll start with 1 John 3, verse 11. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. John the Apostle says this. Where did he hear this message? From Jesus. If we love our brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no life is love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. We know that real love and what it is because Jesus gave his life up for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Verse 18, dear children, let's not merely say we love each other. Let us show it by our actions. Verse 23, this is God's commandment. We must believe in the name of Jesus, the Son, and love one another. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. So how can we love like Jesus? How can we love the way God wants us to love? How does that happen? Because the Spirit that God gave us through the Holy Spirit lives where? In us. And when we allow to ourselves to obey that Spirit within us, we will love just like God does. So now you have the how. 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for God, love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's the essence of who God is. God showed us how much he loved us through his one and only Son, so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but God loved us and gave his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. What's one of the greatest sins we could ever commit? Not loving somebody else. Hating our enemies. Right? Because God is love. If God is love and God lives in us, what are we filled up with? What's going to come out of us? All the time? This side of the room wins. Maybe because the pastor was sitting over there. Pastor, come on, Pastor Lisa, pull him up. Watch verse 13. God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he lives in us. We have God's spirit in us. What's the spirit of God? What is God like? God is love, correct? We already heard that. So therefore, because that spirit of love lives in us, what are we? We are people that love, are we not? Even our enemies, right? Even our opponents, even people that distress us, even yourself that you distress yourself with sometimes the thoughts and things that you do and say. In us is nothing but love. Do you understand that? Our mind may not know that, our heart might not know that, and our spirit does know it, however. And when you depend on God through the Holy Spirit, you now can love the way God loves. Thank you. All right. Wait, we made it on this side. All right, beautiful. It propped over there. Way to go, Nancy. How about that, God? Verse 16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, see, as we, right? This is not a, see, here's the thing. Anybody here ever not be in a loving mood? Anybody here not loving this sermon? Anybody here not loving me right now? Anybody here not love yourself some days when you mess up? When you don't love? When you fail at, you know, being patient and kind and understanding and all the things that love is, as 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 tells us? We mess up, right? Because we're, as Pastor Jamie said, which I, wow, it gives me a good excuse now, I'm human. So when I'm human, I'm not so loving, am I, some days? But God's in this human, right? So wait a minute, which is it? But it says, as we live in God. See, if you don't spend time with God on a daily, hourly, sometimes minutely, if that's a word, time, you cannot, if you're not really connected all the time, spiritually speaking, mentally, emotionally, with all your mind, all your heart, all your strength, and all your life even, if you're not connected and living in God, it's harder to love as a human, isn't it? So in order to have, now God's spirit is in you, we got that, right? So it's in there, sometimes dormant. But the more you put yourself in the presence of God, through prayer, because it says pray for your enemies, right? So even if you're your own enemy, pray for yourself. Ask God to help you be different, to grow, to be more loving. That's what prayer can change things, right? But as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Aren't you glad to know that if you're not too loving today, you can be more loving tomorrow? And the next day and the next day. It's something that grows. It's like that seed that gets planted. The word of God gets planted and it begins to grow, right? And sometimes things choke out that word, right? In us, that seed that's planted. Life happens. People get in our way. Enemies try to attack us. And what happens? Those things get in the way of our relationship with God, right? So when you find yourself not in a loving mood, have a cup of coffee, if it's the morning, or any time. If you're hungry, eat something. If you're angry about something, pray about it. If you're lonely, spend some time with God or others that love you. And if you're tired, go to sleep. Get some rest. Jesus took naps. But if you're going through those things, I want you, when you're in that halt moment, spend some time with God, alone with God, communion with God, with Jesus. Open the Word of God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the words of Jesus. Spend some time with a devotion. Spend some time with someone who can help uplift your spirit. Spend some time talking about the good things in your life. Take a walk around the block. Get outside and see the sunshine and get a little roasty toasty. But as you're out there and the sun comes upon you, you go inside where it's cool and the sun comes upon you. The sun, S-O-N, right? Put yourself in a position where God is. Make yourself a little place in your home or backyard, or if you want to come here to the church, we'll open the door for you anytime. I promise you that. You can come and be in God's presence if this is where you find God. Or perhaps you find God across the street walking around the pond out there. But spend time alone in communion with Christ. Let him teach you. He said that, right? Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Learn of me. It's Jesus' teachings. What he said here is, I mean, I know it was a little hard to hear, right? We're supposed to love our enemies. You're glad we don't have a sixth week, right? Oh, no, we may. I guess we're going to have to get to seven because that's the spiritual number ultimately, right? God is in us. And as we spend time with God, however you do that, quiet time, alone time, in a group setting, at a Bible study, you can find God everywhere, right? Sitting here in church, even while I'm speaking, God is speaking to you, I know, into your heart, right? We all must depend on God's Spirit. This human being needs God. Believe me. You need me to need God inside of me. Believe me, I'm telling the truth. Both sides of the room need me to have God inside of me so I can love all of you the way you love me. God loves me, right? We all need God, right? And God's Spirit. God is love. Unconditional love, though. Agape love, not human love, not conditional love, not I'll love you if you love me, I'll lend to you if you lend to me, I'll be nice to you if you're nice to me. None of that kind of love. That's human love. The God love is I'll give you all of myself, asking nothing in return. I will bless you, I'll serve you, I'll do for you whatever you ask, asking nothing in return. I'll die for you as Jesus did. And we can die to self, can't we? We can sacrifice ourselves and our time and our energy and all we are for somebody else, can't we? That's how we exhibit love. The greatest way and the way to know who Jesus is, when you see in Scripture his example, he met with everybody, didn't he? Including his enemies, didn't he? The Samaritan woman who the Jews hated, a woman, he met with her at the well. The woman that was caught in adultery, he didn't condemn her. He loved her anyway. The Pharisee, who didn't understand, he explained the truth to him, right? So-called enemies, Jesus poured love out to them. And guess who all of us have been at one time or another to God? An enemy. Have we all not distressed God at times? Not just me, although I could probably out-distress most of you. We have to decide to follow Jesus and his example. In John 13, after he washed the disciples' dirty, dirty, ugly feet, he said, I have set for you an example. Now do as I have done to you. So do what? Do unto others more than they would even expect you to do. Do unto others as you would like them to do to you. if you're walking up to a door and you're expecting them to open it, because that's what people are supposed to do, right? When you go to, run ahead of them and open it for them instead. Do for others. That's the do what God wants. I guess that's encapsulate the pentology at all. If we are willing to do for others as God has done to us, I'm going to add a whole new version of this. Because really, that's what 1 John was speaking of, John the Apostle, right? That's what Jesus was speaking of, to do to others the way God treats others. The sunshine and the rain fall on sinners and saints alike. Nothing bad happens to good people. Nothing good happens to bad people. Nothing good happens to bad people. Nothing good happens to good people. All that, it's all arbitrary, isn't it? It happens to all of us, doesn't it? But here's the most important part of it. God loves us all equally. Pray for those that harm you. Pray for all those who have ever hurt you. When I speak about depending on God and being with Jesus, we know that at the Last Supper, what we call communion, he was at that table after he washed the disciples' feet. He took the bread and he broke it. There's none on the altar today because we don't need that physical representation, but I'm going to tell you what it really meant. He said, "This is my body, which will be broken for you so that you can have wholeness in your life." And then he took the cup from the table and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, the everlasting life you can have through the forgiveness of sins. It's a cup of my blood poured out for you so that you can be forgiven and have eternal life." With those two things, the body and the blood, all that together said, "I love you. This is how I'm going to prove my love for you. I'm going to give of myself so that you can have a beautiful, blessed life. Even though some of you were my enemies because of the way you treated others and me, I'm still going to forgive you and show you mercy and compassion." And then he said, "As I have done for you, I want you to do to others. Love one another. If you love one another, that's how people will know that you are my disciples." So Jesus has given us multiplicity of examples through the word. And even at that communion table, and we celebrate it from time to time here at this church, but I want to impart to you that you can have communion with God every single day. You can sit and remember the things that he taught you. You can sit and be there in his presence as he continues to forgive you, because maybe you're going to fall short of this message this morning. Even though you were listening, you may have difficulty sometimes living it, right? How do we make ourselves able to live it more and more towards one another? We spend more time realizing God is in us, and we ask God to fill us again with his spirit of mercy and grace, sacrifice, and unconditional love. And we take that communion with Christ, and then we pour it out to others. And from our heart, where the Spirit of God lives, outpours the love of God to others. A good person from a good heart that God has love in treats others with love and mercy and grace, right? So what do we need? More God. If you get more God, you get more love. And if you love more, you're going to get more love from God to love others. You can never run out of God's love, right? So do you need somebody to love this morning, including yourself? Pray to God, "Help me love the way you love, God." And ask God continuously to pour his spirit of love within you. Pray for more love, and more love into your life, and especially for those for which you call an enemy, people that distress you. Pray for us. We will love you just as you love one another, right? The way Jesus loves. So thus concludes the pentology. But it's all about what? One thing, isn't it? It's always about the one thing. Love. unconditional love, because God is love, and we are a church who love, correct? All we need is God and more love. Ask God for it this morning. Amen.